time, and you and I were there
we
for
were
that.
There, that's right.
Congratulations, Mike Galou, who called in with the answer to the question this morning. Mike knew that it was Rick Carlisle. Michael Jordan stole the ball from. Mike gets a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers, and Freddie will be back with another question for you bright and early tomorrow. And tomorrow is Rock and Roll Tuesday. Wind advisory in effect from noon today to 7 o'clock tonight. Kind of unusual weather today. 51 degrees right now. Cloudy, showers possible this morning, and then partly sunny later on in the day. It'll get up to 57 or 58 degrees, and then the temperatures will start to fall down to 40 by the end of the afternoon. Some strong winds. Tonight, clear, much colder, with a low tonight in the low 20s. It's 7 o'clock.
Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM. WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station.
CBS News, I'm Dave Barrett.
If you just keep working hard and believe, anything will happen.
With 20 seconds left in Super Bowl 49, Patriots defensive back Malcolm Butler did make it happen, saving the game for his team. Correspondent Steve Futterman.
They will be talking about this play for a long time.
It's intercepted at the goal line!
The Seattle Seahawks, 1 yard away from winning the Super Bowl, decided to throw rather than run the ball, and it cost them. The call on Westwood One. On NBC Sports, analyst Chris Collinsworth was stunned.
I'm sorry, but I can't believe the call.
Me neither.
I cannot believe the call.
And Patriot quarterback Tom Brady almost had to pinch himself.
I saw the interception. I couldn't believe it.
28-24 the final, as Brady led the Patriots to a fourth quarter comeback and his fourth career Super Bowl win. So, what were the best commercials during the game?
They will be talking about this.
Many ads pulled at heartstrings. Budweiser's Lost Dog winning USA Today's yearly Super Bowl ad meter. There was humor like this Doritos spot.
Hey, Ralph, can I have a Doritos?
Sure. When pigs fly.
But the predominant message was the message. Some were warm and fuzzy, some sobering, like Nationwide's spot about children and safety.
They won't ever get married. I couldn't grow up because I died from an accident.
It lit up social media with many saying it was simply too morbid at the wrong time. Peter King, CBS News. It
should take $4 trillion to run the U.S. government for a fiscal year. That's the request from the White House that will be presented to Congress today. Correspondent Juliana Goldman.
As part of his 2016 spending plan, President Obama will ask for billions of dollars to repair the nation's crumbling roads and bridges, a request the White House is banking on both parties rallying behind.
Starting at breakfast, what young kids eat isn't always the best for them. Government studies says so. Live with us now, CBS's Vicki Barker, and she's got the highlights.
Most of the children's cereal bars, breakfast pastries, and infant snacks studied were packed with sugar, and about 7 out of 10 toddler dinners had too much salt. Small wonder 1 in 4 kids under 6 are overweight or obese, and the fear is that the rest will develop an early taste for the very foods that lead to obesity and other health risks. For their part, the manufacturers insist many of the products studied have since had their sugar, salt, and fat levels reduced. Dave?
Another winter storm system is working its way through the Northeast. Snow on New York's Long Island is turning to rain. This driver's name, Nick.
The concern is that the ice up and you start doing 360s and stuff like that. You just got to take it easy. And if you don't need to be out, stay in. Take the day off.
Could be 16 inches of snow around Boston. 2,300 flight delays so far today from this storm. And in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, that's what they hear now. The groundhog going to come out in less than a half hour to let us know if we'll be through with winter sooner or later. Wall Street, S&P futures up 7. This is CBS News.
As an entrepreneur, you're always on the go. So turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Sound professional with a main greeting and multiple extensions that forward callers to your mobile phone. You can even get voicemails transcribed. Join over 150,000 small businesses who stay connected with Grasshopper. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
This is Charles Osgood. What's the most important thing to consider when looking for the right insurance? Customer satisfaction. Auto Owners Insurance uses only local, independent agents to handle all your questions and needs. We serve policyholders, not shareholders. Our award-winning service is why Auto Owners is known as the No Problem People. Auto Owners, a policy of satisfaction. For the independent agent in your neighborhood, go to AutoOwners.com. That's AutoOwners.com.
The measles outbreak began in Southern California. Now about 100 cases are reported in several states. And as correspondent Carter Evans explains, some doctors around L.A. are taking a stand.
Dr. Margaret Van Blerk is a pediatrician in Orange County, California, home to 27 confirmed cases of measles and one of the largest groups of unvaccinated children in the state.
It's just frustrating that, you know, they just don't listen because they come to us to take care of their children, and yet they don't trust us.
Now her practice is on the verge of dropping patients whose parents refuse to immunize.
We probably will just not be able to see them here anymore. I don't want people bringing their children in here and being fearful they're going to get exposed to kids that are not vaccinated.
President Obama says everyone should get their kids immunized against measles. It's made more money than Saving Private Ryan in just 6 weeks since its release. American Sniper has earned more than $248 million. It led the weekend box office, bringing in more than $31 million. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
If you've ever wanted a truly spectacular diamond ring, you'll want to visit Jared the Galleria of Jewelry this Friday through Sunday. That's because this Friday through Sunday, when you purchase your diamond at Jared, you'll receive up to a $1,000 reward toward the purchase of a beautiful diamond setting. Choose from thousands of diamonds and have your own one-of-a-kind ring created right here at Jared. Get set in diamonds this Friday through Sunday for a reward worth up to $1,000 only at Jared.
Does opening a new box of toner feel like a birthday gift just for you? When your portable printer rides shotgun, do you feel like you're king of the road? If so, you might be gear-centric. Someone who knows that the right office gear helps you do great things. And at Office Depot and Office Max, we have the quality printing gear you need. Right now, all printers are on sale, plus great deals on HP ink and toner. Office Depot and Office Max. Gear up for great. Offer ends 2/7.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
This morning on WCHL, Orange County commissioners say a $125 million bond package may be the best way to fund repairs for aging schools in Orange County.
I don't think we've got an option. We've got schools that are 50, 60 years old.
Planning for and managing growth is a top priority for Hillsborough town leaders. And Google Fiber is coming to the Triangle, but not the entire Triangle. Hillsborough is not on the list. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, the North Carolina men's basketball team takes on the second-ranked Virginia Cavaliers at the Smith Center tonight. And they'll be talking about the last play in the Super Bowl for a very long time. Plus,
an amazing ending to an amazing sports weekend.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
52 degrees, 707 WCHL, expecting a wind advisory to go into effect at 12 noon today. It'll last till 7 o'clock tonight. Kind of unusual weather today. Cloudy with a chance of showers this morning and a slight chance of rain in the afternoon as well. It's going to be partly sunny, though, and our temperatures will rise up to about 57 or 58. Not a lot of change. Then it will start to go down in the early afternoon. By the time the end of the day gets here, we'll have temperatures of about 40 degrees and some strong wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Orange County commissioners say a $125 million bond package may be the best way to fund repairs for all those aging schools in our county. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
Orange County commissioners agree there's no question local schools need money for repairs.
I don't see where we have an option on the needs of the schools. I don't think we've got an option. We've got schools that are 50, 60 years old.
That's Board Chair Earl McKee speaking at a planning retreat last week. The Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County school systems have compiled a list of capital projects totaling more than $330 million to repair or replace outdated facilities and expand some schools to add capacity. Commissioners last week moved closer to putting a bond referendum on the ballot that would partially fund those repairs, though the board did not formally vote at the retreat. The proposed $125 million bond package would be the largest in Orange County history and the first since voters approved a $75 million package back in 2001.
Commissioners and staffers discussed the pros and cons of using pay-as-you-go funding for the repairs instead. But Commissioner Barry Jacobs said a successful bond package would represent voter support and a firm commitment from the board.
If we've already told the voters, this is what we want you to do, and they say yes, then you've made a different level of commitment. In a way, you box yourself in, but in a way, you hopefully have some more buy-in than would normally be the case.
Deputy Finance Director Paul Lawton told the board both funding methods would likely result in a tax rate hike, as there's not enough projected growth in revenues to cover the debt service on either type of borrowing. Lawton estimated the bond package would ultimately translate to a 4.6-cent increase on the property tax rate, to be spread out over the course of several years. While commissioners indicated they're ready to move forward with planning for the referendum, some expressed concern that Chapel Hill voters in particular might not warm to the idea, as the town is considering its own bond referendum in 2015. Commissioner Renee Price said she's worried about voter fatigue.
There could be so much confusion, and we either win or we all lose. I just wanted to throw that out there, that I really think we need to get all players at the table on this.
Commissioners said if they do go ahead, they want more collaboration and support from both school districts. Here's Mark Dorson.
The relationship should be more than just, we need this money, we'll give you that money, and here's how we're going to figure it out. Obviously, there's two separate elected bodies, and they have two separate elected responsibilities. There should be more engagement on that.
The scheduling of any future bond package would be constrained by a recent decision from the legislature limiting county referendums to even number years. Commissioners are leaning toward a November referendum because, as Board of Elections Director Tracy Reams pointed out, the 2016 primary season could get complicated.
The North Carolina presidential primary is all dependent upon the South Carolina primary. If they hold theirs prior to March the 15th, we have to follow and hold ours a week after theirs. So we could feasibly have a February 16th possible presidential preference primary. Then we'll hold all the other primaries on May the 3rd.
Though commissioners say schools would be the primary funding focus, the bond package would also likely include money for affordable housing projects and possibly parks. Following a formal vote to move forward with referendum planning in February, commissioners will likely convene a task force of residents and elected officials to work out exactly what goes on the ballot in November 2016. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
As everyone knows by now, Google Fiber plans to come to the Triangle. We heard that last week, but there's nobody jumping up and down with excitement in Hillsboro. It's not going to the entire Triangle. In response to questions following last week's announcement from Google, the town of Hillsboro on Friday released a statement reminding everyone that Hillsboro is not one of the communities included in the program. Google Fiber will be coming to Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Raleigh, Durham, Cary, Garner, and Morrisville, but not Hillsboro. For a full statement from the town of Hillsboro, you can visit WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Planning for and managing growth is a top priority for Hillsboro town leaders. With major development plans in the pipeline, WCHL's Blake Hodge has more on how some of these projects will get funded.
Hillsboro officials have big plans for the small historic town. You can see the full scope of their ideas in the Vision 2030 document, one of the major talking points during the public input sessions over this development project was the construction of a train station. Mayor Tom Stevens says he is very pleased that the state has placed a priority on funding that train station with money earmarked from the government in 2019.
The state transportation plan goes out, it looks at 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, but 5 years means it's pretty well funded and it's very solid.
The remaining funding needed for the construction of that station would be coming from the half-cent sales tax increase in Hillsboro that was approved by voters in 2012. Mayor Stevens adds that Hillsboro has several major projects listed out in the state transportation plan.
One of those is for the rail station. One of those is for South Churton Street, which is the area that would be leading into the rail station. And then one of them is a connection from Orange Grove Road that would go through that area to Highway 70. And so all three of those are very important for the development of this center part of town.
He adds that it is crucial that the timeline is such that the town can count on those funds from the state.
It's amazing to me sometimes how long it takes for these plans. It's in terms of decades, not years, but it is very, very exciting news. It is now about as definite as DOT can be about things in the future.
While the public input for the Vision 2030 development project closed in January, you can still view the full plan through a link on our website, chapelboro.com. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This month, Chapel Hill Police will continue monitoring specific streets and crosswalks all over town as part of their ongoing initiative to promote pedestrian and bicycle safety. On Wednesday from 8:45 until 9:45 a.m., officers will be near campus monitoring the area around Country Club Road, Boundary Street, and Battle Lane. On Thursday, at that same time, officers will be posted on Columbia Street at the UNC Health Sciences Building. Next Tuesday, February 10th, officers will monitor South Columbia Street between Franklin Street and Cameron Avenue, also from 8:45 until 9:45 a.m. Then on Tuesday, February 24th, from 7:30 until 8:30 a.m., officers will be stationed on Raleigh Road at Glen Lennox. It's all to make sure drivers, bikers, and pedestrians are following the rules on the of the road, especially around crosswalks. Officers may cite violations, including drivers who don't yield to pedestrians in the crosswalk or pedestrians who cross against the signals. Fines and court costs for those violations may cost you more than $200. Those police patrols are part of a much larger initiative the town is undertaking to promote bicycle and pedestrian safety. If you'd like more information on how to stay safe in the roads, visit a link on our website, chapelboro.com, and visit our website also for a link to a page where you can share your concerns about bike and pedestrian safety with the town of Chapel Hill. What about that coal ash spill from Duke Energy? How much will Duke Energy have to pay for that? That story and more coming up in a moment. WCHL News Time, 7:15. It is time now for Traffic and Weather Together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Town Hall Grill. Now, with your morning traffic, here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Looking pretty good on the roadways. Not much problems out there to report. We are looking at wet roadways, so you may want to allow yourself a little extra time. Otherwise, traffic just starting to pick up on 54 East between Fordham Boulevard and I-40. And 40 eastbound remains a delay-free trip into RTP from Highway 54 through 540. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Traffic brought to you by Town Hall Grill, and they're located in Southern Village. Town Hall Grill is perfect place for a great meal. And don't forget, after Carolina's home games, including tonight, show your ticket and get 10% off anything to eat and drink at Town Hall Grill. WCHL's Chapel Hill Harbor weather looks like this. 51 degrees, a wind advisory in effect from noon today to 7 o'clock tonight. It's going to be cloudy today, chance of showers this morning, partly sunny with a slight chance of rain in the afternoon as well. It's going to be windy through all of that time. Our high today in the upper 50s, about 57 or 58. Then the temperatures will start to fall in the early afternoon and go all the way down to about 40 by the end of the day. Some strong wind gust up to 30 miles per hour in there. Tonight, clear, much colder, continued windy with the lows in the low 20s.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
WCHL News Time, 7:17. A year after the sudden collapse of an old drainage pipe triggered the third largest coal ash spill in United States history, regulators say they're still working to determine how much to fine the nation's largest electricity company. Records show past fines levied after large coal ash spills in other states ran into the millions of dollars. It took almost a week to plug the leak that coated 70 miles of the Dan River in gray sludge. A key issue in assessing what Duke Energy will eventually pay depends on what, if any, long-range damage was done to the river. So far, Duke Energy says recent studies show the river is recovering. But scientists and environmentalists warn it could take years before the true impact on the river's ecosystem is known. 7:18, time now for WCHL Championship Sports. A lot of ground to cover this morning. First of all, let's talk about the Super Bowl. I'm assuming you watched the Super Bowl last night. Millions of people did. In the end, it was an unheralded rookie strong safety out of West Alabama who saved the Super Bowl to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. They beat the Seattle Seahawks last night, 28-24. It was a nip-and-tuck Super Bowl 49. Really great game. Malcolm Butler made an interception at the goal line as the Seattle Seahawks were 1 yard away from the go-ahead touchdown. Butler spoiled the Seahawks' comeback by stepping in front of Ricardo Lockett with a game-saving interception at the goal line. Patriots rallied from a 10-point fourth-quarter deficit. Brady threw four touchdown passes, including the game-winning three-yard strike to Julian Edelman with 2:02 left. That was Brady's 12th career Super Bowl touchdown pass, breaking Joe Montana's record. The 10-point comeback tied the biggest rally in Super Bowl history. New England coach Bill Belichick and quarterback Brady are now 4-for-6 in Super Bowls in this century. Belichick's 22 postseason victories are the most by any coach in NFL history to culminate a fortnight of accusations about underinflated footballs during the Pats' AFC title rout 2 weeks ago over the Colts. Belichick joined Pittsburgh's Chuck Knoll as the only coaches with 4 Super Bowls. Well, Tom Brady was the Super Bowl MVP, and the question remains, why that call at the end of the game when you have Marshawn Lynch in your backfield? He's the best running back in all of the NFL and almost impossible to bring down. You're inside the 1 yard line and you probably have 2 cracks at it. Why not try that? Well, they tried a pass. It backfired. Tom Brady, of course, won his third Super Bowl MVP award, 4th Lombardi Trophy. That's what we mentioned a moment ago. Seahawks decided against using Marshawn Lynch to run the ball and instead called the pass play. It was intercepted. Patriots were able to run out the clock. Seahawks coach Pete Carroll said afterward, "There's nobody to blame but me." He explained the Patriots had gone with their jumbo goal line defense. He thought a pass play would work. Well, obviously, it didn't. In college basketball now, number 13 North Carolina men's basketball team, 17-5 overall, 7-2 in ACC play, is looking to avoid losing 2 games in a row tonight in the Smith Center. The league-leading and second-ranked Virginia Cavaliers come to town. Cavaliers were undefeated until they lost to Duke over the weekend. WCHL's Matt Oakes previews tonight's game.
We talked about trying not to turn the basketball over and give them openings. We tried to talk about not fouling, and we put them on line 44 times. It's like we played at Kentucky. We shot 13 free throws, and they shot 31. Today, we shot 20, and they shot 44. And in both cases, I'm not talking about the officials. We made the fouls, and they should not have done that. And the other thing we talked about was doing a great job on the backboards, and they got 17 points on offensive rebounds in the second half. So poor job of playing, worst job of coaching.
That was UNC head coach Roy Williams. Coming off a brutal loss at the hands of the Louisville Cardinals Saturday, Carolina has no time to mourn the 18-point second-half lead it let slip away. Such is life in the ACC. A new opponent and a fresh challenge awaits the Tar Heels Monday night. In a 2-game and 48-hour stretch UNC is getting used to this season, Carolina's opponent, Virginia, can empathize with UNC's predicament. The Cavaliers will need to move on quickly themselves from an energy-sapping home court loss to the Duke Blue Devils Saturday night that ended their pursuit at perfection. Coach Williams, meanwhile, will be preaching toughness in his pregame locker room speech. UNC miserably lost in that department against the more physical and aggressive Cardinals, who emphatically out-rebounded, out-hustled, and out-manned the reeling Tar Heels. Coach Williams, though, is taking the blame.
That shows you something, how much Louisville wanted the basketball, and I hate to say this, but I've done a poor job of coaching because they evidently wanted the basketball and were tougher about it.
Luckily for UNC, it appears Marcus Page merely rolled his ankle Saturday in the KFC Yum Center, so the junior guard should be good to go against Virginia. Page, who's shooting 45.5% from three-point range in ACC play, says he's eager to wipe the sour taste out of his mouth.
I think so. I'd like to play. I'd rather play games than practice any day. So I'm excited for the challenge that Virginia is going to bring to our gym.
That is Marcus Page. Thanks to Matt Oakes for that report. The question is, which team will best respond to weekend adversity? Tonight, everything's still on the line. With a win, the Cavaliers should put distance between themselves and the rest of the ACC pack. A Tar Heel win, on the other hand, would catapult UNC into a tie for the conference lead. Despite the bitterness of recent defeats for one school, the Smith Center will serve as the perfect rehab center. Should be a tough game tonight, and we'll have it for you right here on WCHL. The Carolina women pulled out a 72-60 victory over Boston College on Super Bowl Sunday in Carmichael Arena, behind a career-high game from junior and Day Bryant. North Carolina is now ranked 5-3 in the ACC, 18-4 overall. The BC Eagles fall to 9-12, 1-7 in conference play. Bryant finished with 13 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and even a block shots. Her minutes have been increasing steadily, I should say, over the past few games. Head coach Sylvia Hatchell has been looking to her for a consistent mid-range jumper when called upon.
Distance between themselves and the rest of the ACC pack.
you know, most important position on the floor, really, because if you look up in the rafters, I think half of those jerseys that are honored or retired are kids that played that four position. And, that's a major position for how we play. I mean, it's like a point post type position.
Again, Carolina won over Boston College 72-60. Carolina's headed up north for two road games now against Syracuse and Virginia Tech on Thursday and Sunday. Orange tied with UNC in the conference at 5-3. Virginia Tech has only won one time in conference play. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Next hour, we're going to talk to Greg Barnes about Carolina basketball right here on WCHL. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
An amazing ending to an amazing sports weekend. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. I guess you can say it began in the desert and ended in the desert, with Tiger Woods claiming to be back in top form, shooting an 82 at the Phoenix Open and missing the cut. That was the highest score Woods has ever shot in a pro tournament. And it ended only a few miles away late Sunday when a miraculous goal line interception kept New England from losing the lead in their third straight Super Bowl on a long fluke pass play in the closing minutes. In between with three ACC basketball games Saturday that all had hard-to-believe finishes and sets up one tonight in Chapel Hill that promises to be as much of a fight as a sporting event. First, NC State blew another big lead and looked like a loser again when Georgia Tech missed two free throws with a two-point lead, and then the Wolfpack's Trevor Lacy hit a long three-pointer at the buzzer to pull out the victory. After that came the tale of two halves, with UNC dominating Louisville in the first half, and then getting, in the words of Roy Williams, their butts kicked in the second half on the way to an overtime loss when the Tar Heels faded from fatigue, fight, and foul trouble to snap their six-game winning streak and a shot to take over first place in the ACC in the next game. That was made possible by undefeated Virginia going down to Duke in the last 5 minutes after completely controlling the Blue Devils until then and leading by as many as 11 points. Duke, which had not hit anything from outside 12 feet the entire game, began draining long three-pointers while the stunned Cavaliers were outscored 11-0 at the end and lost their undefeated season. That game sets up a battle tonight between two angry teams that lost big leads and are trying to hold on to their place in the ACC standings. Carolina looked exhausted at the end of the Louisville debacle and need a quick turnaround to be ready for a hard-to-defend and hard-to-score on Virginia team. The Heels committed more fouls, 33, than in any game Williams has coached here, and after losing Bryce Johnson and Isaiah Hicks on fouls, a bruised and battered Carolina had almost nothing left in the tank to stop the Cardinals' comeback. It was a bad loss in the way it happened, and I'm sure Virginia feels the same way. Call it a dogfight, a street fight, or just one intense basketball game, but you are guaranteed to see it this evening. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
WCHL Championship Sports brought to you by AT&T Wireless.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Where do you go from here? It's amazing what you can find in your own backyard. Whether you need a springboard to a bachelor's degree or a second chance at success, Durham Technical Community College has provided high quality, affordable, and convenient technical and career education for the citizens of Durham and Orange County since 1961. Just visit durhamtech.edu or call 919-536-7200 and find out just how far you can go. Durham Tech, do great things.
Beethoven, what's wrong?
I'm trying to compose my ode to joy, but how can I be joyous when I'm so hungry?
Why don't you try Breadman's? They've got everything from sandwiches to scrambled eggs. It's my favorite spot in town.
Gott in Himmel, that's it! Breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. Lots of food, not much to pay. Go to Breadman's, come to Breadman's. Eat at Breadman's every day.
Breadman's Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
You're a genius, Beethoven.
Dankeschön.
This is Dr. Adam Goldstein with Your Health Radio and the University of North Carolina Department of Family Medicine. Do you worry about getting the care you need because you don't have health insurance? Do you have a pre-existing condition or think you can't afford it? The Affordable Care Act provides individuals who qualify with financial assistance for purchasing health insurance. Open enrollment is now through February 15th, so check out your options on www.healthcare.gov or call 919-545-3440.
Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate is a comprehensive support program for students in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. If you enjoy reading, going on walks, baking, or playing basketball with a child, then Blue Ribbon is the perfect opportunity for you. We're looking for volunteers to serve 2 hours a week for a minimum of 2 years. Contact Granville Johnson at 919-918-2170, extension 5. Blue Ribbon thanks WCHL for supporting our program.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Our station website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen anywhere in the world with live streaming. This is Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, WCHL.
Good morning. It is coming up on 7:30, and the biggest thing to point out is that we have a wind advisory in effect starting at noon today. I mean, it's going to get really strong. We have wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour this afternoon. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you this morning by Grimble Jewelers. Yep, wind advisory in effect from noon until 7 p.m. Cloudy with showers likely this morning, or at least possible, and then partly sunny with a slight chance for showers in the afternoon as well. It's going to be windy, as I said. Our high today about 57 or 58, and then the temperatures will start to fall gradually throughout the afternoon hours. By the time we get to the end of the day, the temperature is going to be down around 40. And tonight, clear, much colder, with the lows in the low 20s, with a strong wind gust as well, which is going to make it seem even colder than it is. And then if you're wondering about tomorrow, mostly sunny and cooler still, with a high only in the middle 40s. So with all this wind and really chilly temperatures coming, bundle up. We've seen the warmest of days for a while yet, at least a few days. It's going to be really, really frigid. A look at your weather has been brought to you by Berkeley Grimble of the folks at Grimble Jewelers. Grimble's is always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's on the Elliott Road in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods. Coming up, an update from CBS, and then more local news on WCHL.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update. I'm Gary Nahn. Super Bowl 49 had a slow start, but a thrilling finish. Rookie Malcolm Butler of New England intercepted a Seattle pass in the end zone with 26 seconds left in the game, saving a 28-24 victory. Bob Soucy called it on Patriots Radio.
Wilson, quick throw. And it's good.
Butler on CBS This Morning says that moment, it seemed like a dream.
I just had to wake up this morning and really just be like, was this real? And it's real.
What was going through his mind when he grabbed that pass?
Memorization and preparation took over, and I just said, jump the route and make the play. Jump.
Butler's path to the Super Bowl included fried chicken.
The times I was sitting out of school, I was working at Popeyes, and, you know, people used to just come by and be like, man, what happened? What you gonna do? And, you know, I just took advantage of it, and I'm here now.
CBS News Update, I'm Gary Nahn.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
One can only think what's going through the minds of all the Seattle Seahawks today. What a frustrating way to lose, and why not give the football to Marshawn Lynch? 7:32, we have right now 51 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today of about 58, and then the temperatures will start to plummet. Orange County commissioners say a $125 million bond package may be the best way and perhaps the only way to fund repairs for aging schools. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more.
Orange County commissioners agree there's no question local schools need money for repairs.
I don't see where we have an option on the needs of the schools. I don't think we've got an option. We've got schools that are 50, 60 years old.
That's Board Chair Earl McKee speaking at a planning retreat last week. The Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County school systems have compiled a list of capital projects totaling more than $330 million to repair or replace outdated facilities and expand some schools to add capacity. Commissioners last week moved closer to putting a bond referendum on the ballot that would partially fund those repairs, though the board did not formally vote at the retreat. The proposed $125 million bond package would be the largest in Orange County history and the first since voters approved a $75 million package back in 2001. Commissioners and staffers discussed the pros and cons of using pay-as-you-go funding for the repairs instead. But Commissioner Barry Jacobs said a successful bond package would represent voter support and a firm commitment from the board.
If we've already told the voters, this is what we want you to do, and they say yes, then you've made a different level of commitment. In a way, you box yourself in, but in a way, you hopefully have some more buy-in than would normally be the case.
Deputy Finance Director Paul Lawton told the board both funding methods would likely result in a tax rate hike, as there's not enough projected growth in revenues to cover the debt service on either type of borrowing. Lawton estimated the bond package would ultimately translate to a 4.6-cent increase on the property tax rate, to be spread out over the course of several years. While commissioners indicated they're ready to move forward with planning for the referendum, some expressed concern that Chapel Hill voters in particular might not warm to the idea, as the town is considering its own bond referendum in 2015. Commissioner Renee Price said she's worried about voter fatigue.
There could be so much confusion, and we either win or we all lose. I just wanted to throw that out there, that I really think we need to get all players at the table on this.
Commissioners said if they do go ahead, they want more collaboration and support from both school districts. Here's Mark Dorson.
The relationship should be more than just, we need this money, we'll give you that money, and here's how we're going to figure it out. Obviously, there's two separate elected bodies, and they have two separate elected responsibilities. There should be more engagement on that.
The scheduling of any future bond package would be constrained by a recent decision from the legislature limiting county referendums to even number years. Commissioners are leaning toward a November referendum because, as Board of Elections Director Tracy Reams pointed out, the 2016 primary season could get complicated.
The North Carolina presidential primary is all dependent upon the South Carolina primary. If they hold theirs prior to March the 15th, we have to follow and hold ours a week after theirs. So we could feasibly have a February 16th possible presidential preference primary. Then we'll hold all the other primaries on May the 3rd.
Though commissioners say schools would be the primary funding focus, the bond package would also likely include money for affordable housing projects and possibly parks. Following a formal vote to move forward with referendum planning in February, commissioners will likely convene a task force of residents and elected officials to work out exactly what goes on the ballot in November 2016. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Google Fiber is coming to the Triangle, but it's not coming to Hillsborough. In response to questions following last week's big announcement from Google, the town of Hillsborough on Friday released a statement reminding everyone that Hillsborough is not one of the communities included in the program. Google Fiber will be coming to Chapel Hill and Carrboro, as well as Raleigh, Durham, Cary, Garner, and Morrisville. Everybody excited about all of that, but it's not going to Hillsborough. For the full statement from the town of Hillsborough, visit WCHL's website, chapelborough.com. There is excitement over the Hillsborough train station. Planning for and managing growth is a top priority for Hillsborough town leaders. With major development plans in the pipeline, WCHL's Blake Hodge has more on how some of these projects will get funded.
Hillsborough officials have big plans for the small historic town. You can see the full scope of their ideas in the Vision 2030 document, one of the major talking points during the public input sessions over this development project was the construction of a train station. Mayor Tom Stevens says he is very pleased that the state has placed a priority on funding that train station with money earmarked from the government in 2019.
The state transportation plan goes out, it looks at 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, but 5 years means it's pretty well funded and it's very solid.
The remaining funding needed for the construction of that station would be coming from the half-cent sales tax increase in Hillsborough that was approved by voters in 2012. Mayor Stevens adds that Hillsborough has several major projects listed out in the state transportation plan.
One of those is for the rail station. One of those is for South Churton Street, which is the area that would be leading into the rail station, and then one of them is a connection from Orange Grove Road that would go through that area to Highway 70. And so all three of those are very important for the development of this center part of town.
He adds that it is crucial that the timeline is such that the town can count on those funds from the state.
It's amazing to me sometimes how long it takes for these plans. It's in terms of decades, not years, but it is very, very exciting news. It is now about as definite as DOT can be about things in the future.
While the public input for the Vision 2030 development project closed in January, you can still view the full plan through a link on our website, chapelboro.com. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And 7:38, I'm sorry, didn't mean to panic you there for a second. 7:38.
I would take 6. That means I had an extra hour.
Yeah, my body clock is all off this morning, I guess. But news around town this morning. Marking the start of Black History Month, UNC will host lifelong activist Benjamin Chavis Jr. for the second annual Bobby Boy Leadership Lecture on Tuesday. Chavis was the leader of the so-called Wilmington 10 who were convicted of firebombing a grocery store back in 1971 in a trial marred by racism and misconduct. Freed in 1980 after his conviction was overturned, Chavis went on to become executive director of the NAACP, national director of the Million Man March, and founder of the National African American Leadership Summit, among other things. His lecture will be on freedom fighting. It'll take place in the Tate Turner Kuralt Building of the UNC School of Social Work on Pittsburgh Street, Tuesday at 5:30 in the afternoon. It is free and open to the public. You can get all our News Around Town stories on our website, chapelboro.com. Go there and click on the News Around Town link. 7:39, I'm Ron Stutz, and Nikki Morse joins us now in the studio. And Nikki is here because she's all excited about Google Fiber, the Seattle Seahawks. Lost to the Patriots in the right. Super Bowl.
Yeah, and how
the Carolina
how Lynch should have gotten the ball. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And the Carolina basketball game coming up tonight, and all kinds of other things.
Absolutely, always have been.
Yeah, I know you are. You can barely contain your excitement.
Well, you know, I have to apologize. I'm not mad. I mean, I know I'm walking around looking like I'm mad today, but I'm not. I just forgot my glasses, so I'm squinting quite hard so I can see where I'm going and I don't bump into things. And
I thought you were upset with me.
No, never. I could never be upset with you.
Right.
Never. Why?
Well, how do you get by without your glasses?
I just forgot them.
I forgot my reading glasses, and I was totally lost.
Yeah, well, now you know how I feel. One of those days, it's like you forget the most important thing you need. I've done that like for the past few days. I don't know why. But at any rate, I'm going to try my best to make sure I can get through this reading thing without giving myself permanent wrinkles.
Would my reading glasses help?
No, it's okay. I'm not quite up to bifocal speed, but thanks. Don't look at me like that, okay? I'll go on and talk about Chapelboro. That's a good idea, right?
I started out being really nice to you and feeling sorry for you.
I know. You felt you looked a little deflated.
You just take
a little
that
pun on the Super Bowl game.
Opportunity to Vince Wilfork is properly inflated, just so you'll know.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he is. Bless his heart.
Huge human being.
It's ginormous. Could you imagine? Ginormous. Anyway. Well,
what's happening at chapelboro.com?
Well, Jeff Danner has a great article. Of course, he's so intelligent. The Missouri River Aqueduct is a bad idea, and he talks about how much water it takes to produce food and how farmers are draining water supplies, especially in the Midwest, and the where's, the how's, and the why's, and all that kind of stuff that Jeff Danner can delve into that is just way beyond my brain scope.
Oh, yeah, he's way over my head, too.
Yeah, but I really enjoy his articles. Yeah, check that out, chapelboro.com.
I enjoy the challenge.
Yeah. It is a challenge. I like it, though. Matt Oaks is all the pregame hype for tonight's men's basketball game when the Tar Heels host the Cavaliers at the Dean Smith Center. It should be a good game tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I sure hope the Heels can bypass the Cavaliers. That would be great.
And Virginia coming up a loss, too. They lost their first game of the season against Duke over the weekend.
Yeah, and maybe that trend will continue.
So, yeah, I hope they
are coming here. So
hope we can make it 2 in a row.
Absolutely. Susan Murray was at the Chamber annual meeting last week, as well as we were, and she captured a good picture of you, mister.
She did.
Yeah. She takes really good pictures of you. Several pictures, as a matter of fact, of all the leaders around Chapel Hill and Carrboro. So make sure, and Hillsboro, for that matter. So yeah. Take a look at all those pictures. You'll probably recognize a few faces. And don't forget to register now for your chance to be part of the 5th Annual Healthiest You Challenge, because you need to be entered by February 11th, and it's already the 2nd. Can you believe it? Yeah. Oh, and it's Groundhog Day.
That's right.
It's actually Groundhog Day.
You've been talking about Groundhog Day for the last month.
Yeah, because it felt like Groundhog Day. But today is actually Groundhog Day.
Today, I hadn't even thought about it until just now.
I didn't think about it either. I wonder what Punxsutawney Phil's up to.
It's Groundhog Day, so... they're throwing that pass at the end zone again.
Can I just say this? This is my observation about Groundhog Day.
What?
Why do we need a rodent to tell us what we already know? There's always 6 more weeks of winter. I just doing the math. That's all I can say.
Well, Punxsutawney Phil is usually about as accurate as the weather forecaster. So,
yeah, well, you know, he might do a better job, but that's another story. We will stick with that.
Well, thank you so much for your insights. On.
It's Monday, can you tell? And I was up late watching the Super Bowl.
Well, I can barely talk. Well, boy, that was it. Hand the football to Marshawn Lynch.
I know. Would you?
Yeah, I mean, that guy could. He had probably 2 opportunities. You know, he could get it in there. The guy's a beast.
He's a huge man.
They don't call him that for nothing.
Not at all.
Okay, well, today's commentary, in the way, from Jeff Neiman, and that is next. There are many reasons people sell gold and silver to Jewel Recycle in University Mall. Inheritance of unwanted jewelry and flatware, gifts from the ex, downsizing, or just for a little extra cash. But did you know the manufacturer of an average gold ring creates more than 20 tons of mining waste? Selling unused jewelry is the green thing to do. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the Triangle's top gold buyer. Visit them for a no-obligation, generous offer. Also on the web at jewelrecycle.com.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Hi, I'm Mark Vitale from All About Insurance Nationwide in Chapel Hill. We have products for all of your insurance needs. Auto, home, life, and we can save you money at the same time. We also have the absolute lowest rates in the Triangle for young drivers. Call us today at 919-933-4000 or stop by Nationwide Square at 1289 North Fordham Boulevard and let one of our experienced agents give you a free consultation. We know all about insurance. So you don't have to.
Tar Heel fans, Cruisers Convenience Marketplace wants to give you 2 tickets and a VIP experience to the Carolina Duke game at the Smith Center on March 7th. One lucky winner will receive 2 tickets to the big game, a pregame reception, photos on the court, and more. To enter, sign up for or use the ExxonMobil Smart Card at any Cruisers location between now and February 24th. Details and more ways to enter at cruisers.net/Smith Center.
Well, thank you, Jones. 51 degrees, 746. WCHL, good morning.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Jeff Neiman. As a former member of the UNC Board of Governors and proud alumnus of 3 of UNC's member institutions, the news of UNC President Tom Ross's transition left me and everyone else, apparently, with a lot of questions. One thing seems clear. This was not President Ross's decision. He made it clear when he had no plans to leave anytime soon. The president serves at the pleasure of the BOG, and so it is completely the board's prerogative to hire and fire the president. In fact, pretty much the most important thing it does. So the question is, why? I listened, like many of you, and watched the president's press conference with board chairman John Fenebresque a couple of times, and the chairman certainly didn't provide any answers to that question. He opened with the statement, "This board believes Tom Ross has been a wonderful president, fantastic work ethic, perfect integrity, and worked well with our board." Okay, maybe it had something to do with Ross's age. Not according to Fenebresque. Age had nothing to do with this, full stop. President Ross has our complete confidence. Well, the athletic academic scandal at UNC Chapel Hill has gotten a lot of news. Maybe that's the reason. Fenebrest said, absolutely not. President Ross has handled that situation in exemplary fashion, and I have been with him all the way. Well, perhaps privately, some members are unhappy with the president. Ross said, I've had no one express dissatisfaction. Well then, how about politics? Once again, the chairman said, absolutely not. When Ross was asked if he believed politics played a role in his transition, he said, I think the board is committed to this university. I think they'll remain committed to this university. Wait, huh? I don't mean this as a criticism of the president. I completely understand why he did it. But that was a pretty illuminating dodge of that question. So, did politics play a role in the decision? I'll have more on that in a later commentary. This is Jeff Niemann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL. Hey, Vapor Girl, we've all heard about vaping. What is it?
Vaping is the solution that many people have been looking for. It lets people have controlled amounts of nicotine without smoking cigarettes.
So, no smoke?
No lighters, no matches, no cigarette butts, no cigarette stink.
Wow, that does sound a lot better than smoking. Where can people learn more?
The best way to learn more is to stop by one of our beautiful stores. We're located in Chapel Hill, Durham, and Pittsburgh.
Just go to thevaporgirl.com and click on retail stores for Google Maps and phone numbers. Thevaporgirl.com.
Like having access to cash? Whether you need funds as a safety net or additional dollars for special purchases, at Bank of North Carolina, we're always here to help. For more information, stop by any of our locations in Chapel Hill and the Triangle. Bank of North Carolina. Delivering more than you expect starts with me. This is Rick Calica, President and CEO. Subject to credit approval, member FDIC.
Like most people in the area, I love Mez. It's not just that it's the most central place to meet people for lunch or dinner in the Triangle, but it is a great twist on contemporary Mexican food. It's delicious, fresh, and healthy. And without a doubt, the guacamole is the best I've ever had.
It's the favorites that keep people coming back to Mez. Simple, fresh, and reliable. What's your favorite? Visit MezDurham.com for menus and reservations. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report is brought to you by the Carolina Inn. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is the inimitable Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. We do have wet roadways outside, so make sure you use extra caution this morning, and you may want to allow yourself a little extra minute or two for your commute. No problems to report so far. 40 eastbound just beginning to fill up as you head into RTP from 86 through 540. A little bit more crowded between 751 and Fayetteville. Northbound Durham Freeway also experiencing some crowded lanes now. Brake lights between Alexander Drive and Briggs Avenue. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Thanks so much. Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Cruisers. It is 51 degrees right now. We look for a high today of about 57 or 58, and then the temperatures will start to fall. This will start in the early afternoon and go through the entire second half of the day. By the time the end of the afternoon gets here, we'll be down to about 40 degrees. One of the reasons for that, we're going to have some really strong winds, gust up to 30 miles per hour. In fact, a wind chill advisory goes into effect, or a wind advisory, in effect at noon today, and that will last until 7 o'clock tonight. Still have those strong winds tonight, gust up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, clear, much colder with the lows in the low 20s. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Fuel up every morning with Cruisers Fresh Food Beans Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and Hot Chocolate. Make it your way every day. It's guaranteed to taste great at Cruisers. Good to go. 7:51. Time now for the word of the day. Wayne Pond joins us now, as he always does. Dr. Pond. How are you this morning, sir?
Oh, I just love my theme music. I just enjoy that so much. Rob, Nikki, how you doing?
I'm really good, thanks.
All right. Happy with the Super Bowl results?
No, thank you, though.
Not at all.
Thanks for bringing it up. Ask Ron what he thinks about it.
Give the football to Marshawn Lynch. One of the dumbest calls in Super Bowl history. Now, I don't remember them all. I can't say it's the dumbest call, but it certainly would appear that way.
Hey, you gotta say this. It was an entertaining football game.
The whole
darn thing, boy, start to finish, don't you?
No question. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I agree.
All right. Well, here we go, guys. We're going to play hardball this morning on the word of the day. None of this pussyfooting around here with cream puffs and easy ones. This is a toughie, tried and true. The word of the day is paragogy. Paragogy. Sharpen your pencils and write this down. P as in Paul, P-A-R-A-G-O-G-E, P-A-R-A-G-O-G-E. Paragogy is a noun. It's all about, it's a rhetorical device. Now, Ron, I'm going to give you a word. Pardon me, I'm all choked up talking to you. I'm going to give you a word, and I want you to pronounce it for me, and we'll see if you lapse into what the Wordmaster, the Wordmaster today is calling paragogy. The word that I want you to pronounce, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Are you ready? All right.
Yes.
H-E-I-G-H-T. H-E-I-G-H-T. How do you pronounce that word, Ron?
Height.
Height. All right. A paragogy occurs when you hear people say height and add that T-H at the end.
Yeah, yeah. That's
you got it?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you fascinated?
I am.
And here all this time
is
I thought
awake?
It... I just thought all this time it was a ravioli with potatoes in it.
All right. Well,
I
it's
like
about adding a. It's all about adding a syllable at the end of a word for effect. Sometimes it occurs naturally. The word "dear" and "deary" is an example of paragogy. Once and once it, you'll hear people say "once it upon a time." Height and height is another example. Oh, I tell you, this is the sort of thing that I get excited about. And Ron's asleep 20 minutes ago.
He's very excited. I can tell.
Yeah, I am.
All right, one more time. P-A-R-A-G-O-G-E. If I want to have a winner this morning on this one. Paragogy, the addition of a letter or a syllable at the end of a word. Okay. Oh, I just love our little list of rhetorical locutions and devices. Happy Monday, guys.
All right, buddy. Hey, happy Groundhog Day.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye.
See you.
Yeah. Bye again.
Wayne Pond's Word of the Day, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I have no idea.
Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers, where you are good to go. All right, time now for the clean joke of the day on WCHL, and here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. A teacher is working with her student with his math skills, and she asks, if I gave you two cats and another two cats and another two, how many would you have? Child says, seven. No. Listen carefully. If I gave you two cats and another two cats and then another two, how many would you have? Seven. Okay. All right. Let me put it to you differently. If I gave you two apples and another two apples and another two, how many would you have? Six. Good. Okay. So now if I gave you two cats and another two cats and another two cats, how many would you have? Seven. Johnny, where in the heck do you get seven from? Because I've already got a freaking cat.
Thanks. I really needed that today.
Sure.
757 WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Sydney Sims is Operations Manager at the Seymour Senior Center in Chapel Hill. She was nominated for Hometown Hero recognition by Myra Austin. What makes Sydney Sims so special?
Sydney Sims is special because she is a team player. She helps the Seymour Center run smoothly. She's a creative person. She's developed over 100 programs over the course of the last year for the older adults of Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County. She's got a lot of spirit and just a pleasant person to be around.
Sydney goes way beyond the call of duty. She loves older citizens, and she loves to get creative.
Yep, she spends a lot of her time working on travel programs. She organizes trips both domestically and internationally, and she puts a lot into the planning and the location and the event. Particularly when there is a domestic trip, it's a little more room for a little more creativity sometimes, and the places that they go and the things they do, like there might be a mystery trip or, you know, some exciting feature where she doesn't actually disclose all of that in the details, and it adds to the fun part of the trip.
She loves to get creative, doesn't she?
Yes.
How long has she been there at the Senior Center, and what led her to do that kind of work in the first place?
Sid has always had a love for older adults from the time she graduated from her college career and worked with older adults in one capacity or the other. She's actually been with the Orange County Department on Aging and, of course, formerly at the Chapel Hill Senior Center and now the Seymour Center since early in 2001.
Our thanks to Myra Austin and congratulations, Sydney Sims, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Automall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Automall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his